Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 6. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he saith unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for these messages on heaven. God, how encouraging. Father, I pray today as Pastor Johnson comes that you continue that encouragement. You continue what needs to be done in our hearts. Maybe somebody today here needs to know that there is a heaven and it's for them and they need to be saved today. God, if that's the case, I pray that they would make that decision before they leave. And Father, whatever needs to be done today, you'd work in our hearts as God's people that we'd be better Christians in this world that we live. Now, for this to be accomplished, we need our pastor to be filled and controlled by your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, make sure that your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate, please. If it goes off in the service, the plagues, all of them, of the tribulation period will fall upon you within 24 hours. So please. Now, by the way, I may say this. If you use your phone for your Bible and stuff, that's perfectly all right. I understand that. I'm trying to get used to that. I'm old school. I like Bible in a person's hand and that kind of stuff. But if you're reading the Bible, that's fine, I suppose. But now, don't be doing anything else with it. You know, I can tell if you're looking at your phone and it's your Bible, and all of a sudden you go, touchdown! I know that's not what that's supposed to be. So that's not in the Bible anywhere, okay? So just stay with me on this. Let me ask you to sit and listen very carefully. Now, with Lord's Supper, our service is a little briefer, more brief on Sunday morning as far as time frame goes. We've been talking about heaven. Heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what we have learned in a capsule. We started several weeks ago. We found in the Bible there are two heavens. There is the heaven that is, and there is the heaven that will be. The heaven that is now is a paradise of God. Don't know a lot about it. We know it's a beautiful place. Paradise evokes something of beauty and something a little more special than just a park. That's where our loved ones who are saved are there now. That's where they are. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, just that quick. You draw one breath here, you draw the next breath in heaven, that quickly. We know about heaven that the place that we are most familiar with about heaven is what's the second heaven or the new heaven. That's Revelation 21. It's a city, four square, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles deep. There is room in heaven for everyone, though unfortunately not everyone is going to heaven. But God has made a place big enough. That's not his fault if people don't go to heaven. That city is incredible when you think of its structure, its size, just what it's made of. That was our tour last week. We took a tour of heaven and we walked the streets and through the gates and into the city and saw that the stuff people live their lives for, God builds things out of that. The whole thing is a mockery of gold and riches and all the things of life. He just paves the streets with the stuff, not to impress us, but to show us that this is not that big a deal. But Jesus is there. And one day, we'll all go to that place called heaven. If we know Christ as our Savior. In Revelation chapter 22, he continues some more description of the city and what, more importantly, what we're going to cover today, what do we do in heaven? Now with the new heaven. I don't know what people do in the paradise of God now, but I know in the new heaven, God has some design of things we will do. You ever wonder about it? You ever wonder? Now think about it for a moment. We will be in heaven forever. There will never be an end to heaven. It's not a timeshare condo where we get our points and go there for a week or two and then have to come back home. No, it's there. It's forever. We'll always be in this place called heaven. So what is it you can do that could keep you busy forever? Now, for a lot of people, their idea of heaven, maybe I might bust a little bit of a bubble this morning because they may think of heaven as one eternal vacation or an eternity of retirement. Though everybody that I know that's retired isn't retired. They're just as busy now, if not more, than they were when they worked a regular type job. But let's kind of get that out of our minds this morning. That heaven is one of those ethereal places that you go to. No, it's a city to which you go. And in this place called heaven, God has things for us to do. So we're going to work like dogs in heaven. No, didn't say that. I just said we have things to do in heaven. We're not just going to walk around and go ooh-ah all the time. It's not floating around on clouds with long blonde hair playing harps and sprinkles boova dust on people. Okay, that's not what heaven is. It's a real place. You have, if you're saved, you have a house there, a mansion, Jesus said. And it's prepared for you. And he has some things. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how you look. To me, I was, as I said in my Sunday school class this morning, I was raised by my grandparents. Work has never been a bad thing in my mind. I like to work. I enjoy it. It's pleasurable. I like what I do for a living as a pastor. I enjoy that. I like to just work when work time comes. I enjoy that. I don't dread Mondays or any other day of the week. I don't dread projects that are ahead of me that require a certain amount of work. I like to do things that are outside the realm of what I normally do. I like to work with my hands. I like to work in the yard. I like to dig dirt. I like to do stuff. I enjoy that. To me, work isn't a bad, dirty four-letter word. It just isn't. When I get time to take a vacation and things like that, I enjoy being able to rest and relax and kind of get a break away from things and stuff like that. One year I took an eight-day vacation, and I preached 10 times in 8 days, which is not really, say, well, that's what preachers do. Yeah, I know that, but it's not really a vacation per se. I like those where you just sit around and watch the sun go down. Yes? And eat cinnamon rolls. Big as manhole covers. Say, is that a good, healthy thing? Sure is. May not be good for you, but good to you, but good for you, but it's good to you. Yes? And where your biggest goal and ambition for the day is what's for dinner. And you fire up the barbecue and burn the beast. All you vegan people out there, you cook vegetables, I suppose. But I like the meat products, quite frankly. Animals are, I'm an animal rights activist. They're delicious. I enjoy that. But you know what? After a few days off or a week off or whatever, I want to get back to work. I like to work. I enjoy it. When I think about heaven, I think to myself, first heard about heaven, I heard about how beautiful it was and nice, everything else. My first thought was, okay, but what do you do up there? I mean, there's got to be something to do. And there is. Revelation 22, keep your Bibles open. There are seven shall be's in this passage. We're going to have to go through them rather quickly, but frankly, those seven shall be's from verse 3 to 5 of Revelation 22 are what we do in heaven, or because of what's there or not there in heaven, that shapes what we do in heaven. Now look at it, please. Revelation 22, verse number 3. The shall be number 1 is this, and there shall be no more curse. Revelation 22, verse 3. It says, and there shall be no more curse. You know what the curse is, don't you? That's the byproduct of sin. When God made everything originally, it was perfect. Nothing was wrong. We were eternal. Our place was eternal. You understand? One more time. Look at me. God made us in these physical, fleshly bodies that could have lasted forever. We're fortunate to get through the week. God made this body right here. That's what he put Adam and Eve in, one of these. And it was intended to last forever. Now in heaven we have a physical body, but in heaven it's a glorified physical body. And in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be no curse. There'll be no reminder or remembrance or stain or damage from sin in heaven. We'll never get a day older. We'll never get sick. We'll never know sickness, disease, death. There are no cemeteries in heaven. There are no hospitals in heaven. There are no jails. There's nothing in heaven to remind us of the fall of man and what sin has done to us. No more curse, the Bible says. It's gone. If we labor, we labor, and it isn't a curse to us in heaven. We don't have to work by the sweat of our brow. We have things that we do, but it's a different situation now. In heaven, because there is no curse in heaven and no sin in heaven and no remembrance of sin in heaven, and the reminder of sin is gone and the damage of sin is removed, since it's all gone, we have an eternity, ladies and gentlemen, where things don't get bad, they just get better and better and better and better, and there comes no end to it. So there'll be no curse in heaven. No limitations of mortality. There are some implications in Scripture that our ability to get from one place to another is totally different now. There aren't any cars in heaven. There's no means or mode of transportation in heaven. No curse. But we're able to get, you can get from one end of the city to the other by thought. 1,500 miles by thought. Nowadays, you go to the airport, you're lucky to get there within 24 to 48 or 72 hours. But imagine that. There is no limitation of mortality in heaven. See, this curse of sin has limited what God intended for us. Do you understand the human mind, and I don't know all the facts and figures. I've heard several different ones. We use 8% or 12% or 20% of the brain's capacity. Some are in the negative category. They're in the hole. They haven't used their brain in so long. When they die, they should donate it to science. Someone will get a lot of mileage out of that. Can I get a witness on that? But the truth of the matter is, they tell us 8 to 12, maybe 15% of the brain's actual capacity is used. That won't be in heaven. So much of our physical ability is not even used to this day. That will not be in heaven. There isn't any limitation on what we are or could do or be or go. There's no limitation because there's no curse of sin. See, sin is what's limited everything. Now, by the way, you remember that next time somebody blames God for hurricanes and earthquakes and disaster and disease and plague and death. There really a God in heaven? Why does he make it all go away? He didn't make it. Sin made that. And that's our product, friend, not his. So in heaven, he wipes the curse of sin away. That removes the limitations of all mortality as we know it now. Verse number 3, the shall be number 2 is the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. A throne. Uh-oh. Place of judgment? No. Listen now. No. See, a throne was a place where a monarch would reign. And a throne is a place where judgment could be disseminated. And a throne was a place where blessings could be disseminated also. A throne was also a place where a monarch, a person of royalty, could receive someone in a special way. Well, we know this in heaven. There is no judgment in heaven. All that has been done now. Anyone who is in heaven has already had their sin judged. And it wasn't at the judgment bar of God. It was at Calvary, my friend. Jesus paid our sin debt. You and God and your sin will never meet up, ever, if you're a child of God. So what's the throne of God and of the Lamb for? It's a place to be received. That means if you want to see Him, you can go and look God in the face anytime you want. You know where He is. You can go meet Him and talk to Him. It's a place to be received as one of His children. It's a place where there is no hindrance. Now, I remember when we were in, I've been to London a few times, and you go there and you go to Buckingham Palace or you go to the Tower of London. They have all the stuff of the royalty of England. Everybody's getting excited now about what's his name, Mary, and what's her name. I don't know why they've been living together. I mean, you're shacking up. It's wicked. It is. It's wrong. I don't care if you're royalty or not. That's wrong. I don't see the concept or the idea why they make a big deal of a wedding if you're going to live together. They ought to just go, well, never mind. I'll leave that alone. We're talking about heaven this morning. Okay, let's leave it right there. And you go to these places and you see the stuff that they invest in the thrones and the sitting places of the royalty. But everything's roped off. You can't go sit there. There's no access to any of this stuff unless you pay a ticket price for it. Their access to their royalty is limited by protocol and all the other stuff that goes along with it. In heaven, there isn't any protocol. In heaven, there isn't any limited access. In heaven, you know what you can do, friend? In heaven, here's what you can do. You can go see God anytime you want to. You can go look Jesus in the face anytime that you want to. There's access to God in heaven. And it says, look again, please, if you would, verse number 3. This is a blessing right here. And his servants shall serve him. Now, the specifics of it, I do not know, but I know this. We have jobs in heaven. Not like the one the government keeps trying to give us that we can't afford. I mean, there is actually something he has for us to do. Now, listen, for some people, they may think, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, but see, that's how you look at serving God here. That's why you look at it there the same way. But his servants shall serve him. See, people who like to do something for God in this life, they're looking forward to doing something for God in the next one because it's a blessing to serve him now. There was one Baptist. Thank you. I said it's a blessing to serve God now. Hey, by the way, you know, you're serving God when you take care of your family. Do you realize that? You are. You're serving your God when you go to work and take care of your family. You're serving God when you provide for your own. You're serving God when you go to church. You're serving God when you get involved in your church and help it do its job. You're just serving God. See, that if that's a blessing to you. Now, if it's a drudgery to go to work and put food on the table and take care of your family, then heaven may not be too interesting to you right now. You may think, well, I just want to go to heaven and sit around forever. Come on, you're kidding me. Forever? Living with my grandparents, see, they actually taught me that work was fun. I mean, my grandfather was a construction superintendent, and when he come home on a Friday, if we were going to go, he'd build a cabin up in the mountains above Chico, and if we were going to go up to the cabin for a short time on the weekend, my brother and I would drag out all the stuff to get ready. He had an El Camino that he drove back and forth to work, and we'd have everything drug out and ready and stacked up and sitting on it in the garage waiting for him to pull up. We didn't wait for him to change his clothes, and he'd go in the house, and we'd start throwing stuff in the back of the thing, get ready to go up to the cabin. And you know what we'd do up there? Huh? We'd go up there and work. No, we'd play and have a good time, you know, go around shooting birds and things like that. That's right, shoot them right out of the sky. I'd shoot Bambi out from beneath his mother if it was legal. He's got no problem with that. It's not legal, so I don't do that. Unless it's dark and I got a flash. No, just kidding. But the truth is that to us, go taking a hike and doing something, that was work, but it wasn't work. That was like work. It was like fun to us. We'd go up in the wintertime and burn bushes and stuff. Then we trim things and things like that. He always had something for us to do. We'd play, then we'd work, then we'd play, then we'd work. So he just kind of made it look like work was play and play was work, and this is all good stuff. Look at me. I don't want to go to heaven and just sit around and go, ooh, ah, and look at the mansion and go, hey, look at that. I mean, how many times can you say that? How many times can you go, streets of gold? How many times can you do that? Gates of pearl, walls of jasper. Look how tall that sucker is. I mean, how many times can you do that? I don't know if we say sucker in heaven or not. It's part of the heavenly language, maybe. I don't know. But how long can you do that? Seriously, how long can you just stand there? We'll look like teenagers at the mall. You go up to him and invite him to church. Partner, can I invite you to church? No, man. No, I'm hanging with my pee, man. So, well, I don't mean to rob you from your exciting lifestyle, son. You know, while you're standing there picking fuzz out your belly button, no knitting a sweater for your grandma, I can invite you to church. You know, no, man, I don't want to go. There's nothing. I want to stand here. That's what people think heaven is. No. He'll have something for you to do. I suggest you got to get the practice thing going right now. Yes? The idea of serving God now with your life. Stop the idea of going to church and plopping yourself down in a chair and getting up and going home. Get in this thing of doing something for God with your life because his servants shall serve him. And he knows what you can do and what you need to do. He's got it all planned out for you. Don't panic. He'll have something to keep us busy forever, and that's good. verse 4, and they shall see his face. See, well, I thought that was access to the throne, Pastor Johnson. Here's the point. They shall see his face. How do billions of people see God's face whenever they want to? It's not one of those Gaddafi things where you put pictures of yourself up everywhere. It's not a dictator and he's got portraits of himself stuck up all over heaven. It means you, whenever you want to and you need to, you can have the face of God. You can see his face. I don't see how that could happen with billions of people. I mean, good night, you can't even get a human being on the telephone anymore. You don't get an answering machine, then you have to Twitter or Facebook or you got to do something. You can't even get human being live people to talk to you any longer. How can you get billions of people who have the opportunity where each individual person can see the face of God whenever they want to? The answer to that is very simple. I have no idea. There's a lot of mystery about heaven. Believe me now, there's seven shall be's, but I guarantee you there's more than seven things that will be occupying our time in heaven. There'll be some stuff we'll see there and we'll think, well, I believe a lot of it, if you wrote it down, you'd say, nah, no way. Or frankly, I don't know how you can get billions of people to have access to see the face of God whenever they want to and be able to do it in a moment, and each person has their own individual access. But guess what? You can see the face of God today. You won't be able to lay eyes upon God today, but you can know his face is turned towards you in your life today. And he does that for billions on this planet now that are his children. So, Pastor Johnson, I thought when you said what we do in heaven, you'd be talking about the particular, you know, the recreational, you know, there'd be social directors who'll come and you go and do this and you'll go and do that. Well, I don't know. I know there's golf somewhere. Book of Job says, you shall hear the cry of the driver. It's in there somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it's in there somewhere. Verse 4 says, his name shall be in their foreheads. That means God's particular claim is upon each of his children. I don't think it means it says God on our head like this, literally written there. It's always a symbol of identification and, listen, and recognition. See, it'll be one thing when I walk up to Brother Benson and said, Brother Benson, good to see you. And I'll know his name and he'll know my name. And I'll see Jim McDilden and I'll say, Jim, it's good to see you in heaven today. And I'll know your name and you'll know my name. And then one with nail prints in his hands and his feet will walk up to you and say, it's good to see you in heaven today, Danny. And it's Jesus and he knows you because your name, his name, it's identification and recognition. We see his face, and he knows each one of us individually. I'm thankful for a God who loves the whole world, and I'm thankful for a God who knows all of his children. But I'm more thankful for the fact that he knows me, and I know him. He knows my name. And when I call upon him, he hears my voice, and he knows me, and I know him. His name shall be in their forehead, the Bible says. Oh, look this, please. Verse 5, there shall be no night there. That means no end to the joys in heaven. The best meal you ever had has an end to it. The greatest joy you've ever known in this life has an end to it. That moment you've had before where it was just, I remember playing fast pitch softball in the service. Never much cared for slow pitch. It's all right. I mean, it's fun and all that. I like fast pitch softball. You can actually throw the ball harder and faster underhand than you can overhand. I played in the military, and we were in a championship game. And I was up to bat, and we had runners on first and second, and the coach was giving me the bunt sign to move him over. And I didn't want to bunt. I wanted to hit this dude. So I called the coach over, and I said, could I get just give me one swing? That's all, just one. He said, all right, but then don't get, you know, get strike two, then you can't bunt, and you'll be out. So just you got to take your best shot. This guy had his glove. He had fingers painted on this glove. So when he pitched, he'd move his hand like this to try and distract you when he'd throw the ball. And he threw a riser. He'd go down, whoop, and come up. I stood in the back of the box. He threw that pitch, and I waited on it, and I put it about 20 feet the other side of the center field fence. And the fans went crazy. And I had my jog around the bases. And it was the moment of glory. And we won the game. And we lost the next one and we were done. Everything has an end to it. Everything. It does. When he says there'll be no night there, it means no end to anything. It means no limit to the day because there is no day. It means no fear. You know how darkness evokes a fear? There's something different about nighttime than daytime, and other than the fact that one's dark and the other one's light. You understand that? There's a fear about darkness. There is no fear there. There's nothing to fear in heaven because there's no night there. So all fear is removed. All concern is removed. All worry is removed. We don't worry. We're anxiously concerned. All that's gone now. It's all taken out. There's no night. There's no end. There's no limit. Everything is set. It's eternity. It's forever. Whatever you do, you get to do that forever. And whatever you enjoy it forever. And whatever pleasure there is in heaven, no carnal, no fleshly, just godly, there is no night to that. Not like now. They shall reign forever and ever, it says. We're not gods in heaven, but it means this. Reigning forever and ever, it means we share in everything that God has. You say, well, he has it all then, Pastor Johnson. That's right. But don't get crazy and start trying to rack up and get, you know, start to figure what the material breakdown of that is and how to do the spreadsheet, okay? Forget all that stuff. Remember that streets of gold, gates of pearl thing? That's not what he's talking about. It means we're not equal to God. It means we share in what God has. And he has everything. When you got saved, friend, he made you a joint heir of Christ. Do you understand that? Joint heir means you're co-inheritors of everything Jesus has. And when it's all over and said and done, he has it all, and you get a part of that. So there is no need for wills or trust deeds or anything like that in heaven. It's all arranged and taken care of. God is going to take care of all of that. And my friend, you have a portion in that. Now then, so since this is what heaven is going to be about and what we do in heaven, believe me, there's more. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, there's that and more. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go there. If it were not so, he said, it's that and more and more and more and more. Oh, there'll be wonders and glories and beauties and things about heaven that when we get there, we'll say, oh, and that too. Yes, and that too. Now, child of God this morning, friend, look at me. If heaven is your destination, and if you're a child of God, that's where you're going. Can I ask you a question? Why? Why are we people so often in the depths of despair in our lives? Say, well, because that's heaven. This is not heaven, and I ain't there yet, and that's not the way it is for me now. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you that this life and its difficulties has ruined your joy and your happiness. And the only way for you to find pleasure in life is to grab something nasty, wicked, vile, and try to squeeze some joy out of that stuff. I'm sorry for you today. But the truth is, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Well, I'd like to have a couple of them now, Pastor Johnson. Matter of fact, I'd like to have a whole bunch of those now. Yeah, and then the trumpet sounds and you leave it all here. Don't you understand? Heaven resolves all this stuff. And what you get in heaven, you get to keep. It's yours forever. What you have in heaven is yours forever. And he's forever. And you're forever. And God is with you forever. And Jesus is with you forever. It's all there. See, I don't know. How can we not be optimistic about our condition in this life? Today would be a good day to go to heaven. If not, God's good. Life's good. But if not tomorrow, God's good, life's good. But very soon, very soon, just a heartbeat away, just a moment from your last breath, just that instant, this could all change. And heaven would be yours if you are a child of God. Salvation, my friend, in Revelation 22, the second verse, it talks about the tree of life. And how the tree of life is there. That's transplanted from Eden, I believe. Back when everything was good and we messed it up. There's a tree of life, no serpent this time. No curse, remember? And this time, the tree of life, your access is guaranteed because your name's in the book of life. Are you a child of God this morning and are you sure? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life? and that heaven is your home, or is there a doubt in your mind? The only way to solve it is to trust Christ as your Savior and accept Him as Savior. That can be done in a moment and an instant of simple repentance and faith, turning to Christ and trusting Him alone for salvation. He'll give you eternal life and a home in heaven on the side. Child of God, it should make a difference to us that we know that we're going to heaven. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.